Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long. So let's get into the show. Hey, Jackie Cation. Here we are in my garage. We're here for the second part of two. We're going to talk to these two guys have started the podcast. They're comics. They're geniuses. They're men about town. Are they? But with me today to talk about Formula One part deux is Jeffrey Tice. Jeff Tice, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for letting us talk about such a silly niche thing.
You and Brent Gill are have a podcast called Grid Penalty Podcast. I spent an hour talking with Brent Gill just two episodes ago, and I learned about the origins and about that there is some drama, that it is fraught with peril. It's been an exciting time. There's a docuseries that has inspired people. Jeffrey Tice, by the way, it's Jeff Tice, but his all of his handles are Jeffrey Tice, GeoffreyTice. You might know him from the art on my current album. So, and the Squish with Whomever You Wish t-shirt. This is Jeff Tice, artist, stand-up comic, guy who likes Formula One driving without wheels.
Thank you so much for that intro. I'm excited to be here only because I'm excited to talk about Formula One, but I could have brought a few other topics to talk about, such as merch and
posters and art.
Yeah, art posters for comedy, specifically comedy posters. I think it would be right. Me, Barry Blankenship, and Dave Clock just aggressively talking in a circle about...
Right, about how you want it to be clean. You want it to be clean, but pop. Anyway, but this I think is going to be... So Brent has told me that the Formula One, just to recap, is a sporting racing thing, but not stock car.
No.
It's open wheel, no fenders.
Yep, no fenders, and it's open... Well, there are regulations and there are restrictions, but like stock car, or unlike stock car, I mean, or IndyCar, those other championship races, things like NASCAR, all the cars are the same and they have the same regulations and the same engines, and it's all a level playing field in theory. You know, I'm sure everyone's fine-tuning here and there and finding their edge.
Pop's racer, he's gonna put a different engine in that car.
He's gonna figure it out. Yeah. And so with Formula One, it's the quote unquote pinnacle of motor racing, which is fun because you already talked to Brent, and Brent is like a legit car guy. Okay. I do not care about cars. I am not a car person at all. I drive.
You're a people person.
I'm a drama and a soap opera person. I like storytelling. I like art. I'm an artist, guys.
What do you? He told me he has two cars.
Yeah, Brent's he's in a different planet. Have? He's off in some weird world buying cars up. I drive a 2011 black Ford Fusion. I am.
There you go.
Practical. I bought it. I used to live in California, and it's only the second car I've ever owned. I've had it forever. And so I'm just not a flashy car person. I'm a legroom person. I'm 6'4", so I just need
You need space. You don't want to be crunched into something that's adorable.
Yeah.
I lost my voice in the middle of that sentence.
You got excited about the Ford Fusion.
Right, the Ford Fusion. Is it? Does it run on fusion? Like, is it like the DeLorean where you put garbage in the top and then it just...
And it just comes together. It's real. Yeah, it is a nuclear version of the car, the Ford branch. So it's exciting that they're into that.
Is it a gas car or is it an electric car? Is it hybrid?
It's a gas car. It's a gas car.
It's just a regular normal car like my 2015 Corolla.
Oh, same car. We have the same car. Yeah. Yes. It's perfect for Los Angeles traffic. It's comfortable. It's great.
Right. So what got you into Formula One if it wasn't the vehicles?
So it was, again, the storytelling. I'm sure Brent mentioned the Netflix series, the Drive to Survive.
Okay. Yeah.
So that came out and I got hooked on that, which I think, I mean, clearly the sport has been exploding in the United States specifically because of Netflix, but also globally.
Okay.
And it's gotten so popular because of Netflix. And so what the Netflix series does is they just do a really good job of introducing the characters, the storylines, the people involved. And they are such cartoon characters because it's such a unique pressure cooker of an environment. And that's what makes it fun.
Right. Okay. So why is it? I mean, okay. So I have not seen the show. So they introduce you, they're like Drive to Survive. And then they cut to what? A guy going, I can't survive unless I'm in a car. what is it?
I mean, honestly, I would watch that too. It is pretty similar to that. what it really is that it's 20 drives. So Formula One as a series, there's 10 teams and there's 20 drivers. So it's hyper.
Two guys per scene.
Yep. And they're teammates. And so there's drama between the teammates. The teammates are the number one competitors. You're always trying to beat your teammate first. They say teammate, but it is your number one rival. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because all the money is being sort of number one of two for Mercedes or Ferrari or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. And,
okay.
And you're fighting for position inside of your team because in theory you have the same car. They've given you the same car. So your performance should be objectively better than the person you're in the same car as.
Right, because then it is about driving. It isn't about the car, because supposedly you have the same car.
Exactly. And so and then at the next level, you're also then fighting against the other 10 teams and driving against the other 10 teams.
The other 18 guys. Are there usually 20 people on the track for these?
There is, yeah. So there will be 20 cars every race, and what, you know, God forbid a crash or something that takes them out, a retirement.
I'm told retirement. That is only billionaire sons would call it retirement. And
there's a few of them floating around in the sport.
Right. Because that was what it was. That this is the most expensive racing.
Yes.
In the world.
Yes.
So, do they have all 20 guys on Drive to like, or do they focus on like 6 or 10 of them?
It's a bit focused. They do introduce everyone. Some people, because of the liberties that the show has taken in the last couple of years, some of the drivers have said we are not involved in this anymore and won't give Netflix interviews. So that's where I took off from the series
show.
And that got me into it. And then I am a sports guy. I like sports, and so I started watching every single week the actual races and comparing an actual race versus Drive to Survive. Drive to Survive is the Netflix version. Like, you're going to get the half hour, the hour, like high action packed. You actually watch a race and you're like, it could be very boring for some people.
Right. How long is a race?
It'll be like an hour and a half. About.
Okay. So it's not completely interminable.
No, it's not like a NASCAR where it's like 500 laps, sit in, let's get hammered, put your little radio headset on and just sit in the sun. It's a different vibe.
Right. And hope. And hope that there's a water fight at some point, water balloons, which is what we always did in band when we went and saw the stock car racing. So so you watch the show and then you're like, okay, well, this guy, and I have this from the previous show, Lewis Hamilton.
The guy is the greatest.
He is racing. So I'm going to try and like one of the characters is racing on a Sunday or whatever. I'm going to actually watch the race.
Yeah.
So that's what led you to actually sitting there and going, all right, I'll watch a race.
Yeah. I'll check it out. And it goes back to Netflix's marketing. They released the season and the series right before the actual Formula One season starts.
Okay.
So you binge the episodes and then it goes right into week one, which is in the Middle East. They race. That's a whole nother conversation, is just human rights violations across the board. And so
what?
Formula One is
Wherever they race.
Yeah. Wait. Formula One is, it's such a global sport. They race in every country. Every race is in a different country. So they will hop around the world. They have three races now in the Middle East, one in Saudi Arabia, one in Bahrain, and one in, I guess, the Emirates in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
So they're racing in these countries that have horrific track records of human rights violations.
Sure, sure. On the crushed skulls of their citizenry. That's what the roads are made of.
What? I mean, honestly, that and just gold, just billionaires' gold. Like, and so that's another thing I find interesting about the sport, is the sport is so high stakes and everything is expensive. It's such, the part that I don't like that I kind of handle and I just compartmentalize probably, is the elitist side of it, where to be a part of the sport, it's even hard to be a fan. Like, going to races is expensive, everything is expensive, and so it is this spectacle of extremely wealthy people who are all probably pretty bad people morally.
Well, I mean, they're essentially, I mean, from what I have heard of the sport, you could buy your son in.
100%. 100%.
Yes. And, but you go and you're like, well, look at that guy's watch. Look at that guy's cufflinks. Look at that guy's haircut. That guy's suit or jacket or, I mean,
it has,
do they
like
show you the people? Yeah.
Totally. And you learn the personalities, you learn their backgrounds. I love where they come from. I love some of their stories. Some of them truly are like billionaire sons. And
who are your favorite racers for like you kind of like, and the ones you hate, and the ones that are just on fire and you're like, I want to watch them burn.
Yeah. I don't really have, truly, there's not a lot of comedians. There's not a lot of drivers that there's definitely a lot of comedians I hate. There's not a lot of drivers that I hate. There's only 20 of them. And
there's
a couple there's one that he just left and I truly didn't like. He was a Russian driver. And because of the war, he was
excommunicated.
Retired. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Excommunicated. He had to go to confession. He was out of there. He genuinely sucked as a person. He was a bad guy.
What was his name?
His name was Nikita.
It probably still is.
Nikita Mazepin. His name's Nikita Mazepin. He was very controversial. He had a couple issues. Some videos he posted of like assaulting and like groping a woman drunk, and then he just posted it to his Instagram. That was before he was even
proud as he could be.
And this is where the billionaire son mentality comes in, where it's like, I'm sure he's just truly gotten away with everything his whole life.
And so whatever he thinks is funny and whatever he thinks is okay.
Totally.
And he's not actually looking at people as people. He's looking at
100%.
Look at that mannequin. I'm going to stick my fingers up its ass.
That's exactly.
And you're
exactly.
Like, nope.
Well,
nope.
And the, again, going back to the drama of everything, it really has nothing to do with racing other than he was involved in a racing team. And then because of his actions and because of Russia, he is no longer involved in that team anymore. But his dad is a Russian oligarch and is at the table with Putin with a lot of these decisions. Like, he is one of the, I think, 14 oligarchs that have private meetings. So he has these like intimate ties to Russia.
Yeah.
It's not just I'm Russian. It's like, oh, you're like bad guy.
Right. It wasn't just, oh, local boy does good and happens to be Russian.
Yes.
He is the son of Voldemort.
Yes.
And it's like, So yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he is he's the worm tongue to
Sauron.
Yeah.
And so was he replaced? Who was he replaced with? Do
so
we know?
He was replaced with
Russian.
A Danish.
No.
Yeah. Oh, worse. His dad. His dad is now driving. He was replaced by a very likable Danish driver named Kevin Magnussen. And so that's exciting. And he's awesome. And he took a year off or was not a part of the team. Now he's back. All of COVID was a big issue as well. But that's another thing I love about it. Watching these teams shift it's all about positioning and making sure you're doing the best you can and trying to vie for the contracts and the money. And you only have this tiny little window of earning potential as a Formula One driver. And so,
because is it a quick career? Is it like you start when you're four?
Yeah.
But are you done when you're 25?
No, it definitely can be a longer career, but it's very rare. There's only a few drivers that have this extended career. It is more rare to have a driver come in and, let's say, be around for 5 years, 6 years, and then he's out. There's kind of this rotating cast of characters on the fringes. I just talk about it like it's a play.
Completely. It feels like one.
Yeah, totally. And that's why I love it. But these guys will come in and they're kind of on the fringes. They're not these elite talents that need to be in the sport. And then there are probably 10 drivers that are, they're there for forever. And if they leave a different team, another team's picking them up. And that's another part that's exciting. There's only 20 spots. And you think about any other sport in the world, a basketball team, there's 15 players on an NBA roster and there's however many, 32 basketball teams. Like, you have less
than...
There's
at least a couple hundred guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, the chances of even becoming a Formula One driver are so slim. And then you have to try to keep that seat.
Right. And they pull them up from the Indy, right? Or they pull them up from the...
Yeah, they pull them up from Formula 2. There's a Formula 2 series and there's a Formula 3 and a Formula 4. And so...
What?
Very weird.
Are they just the A-ball or are the rules different? Are they different?
It's similar. It's just the cars are faster is what it really is. Formula One cars are like just truly jet engines. Like, they're airplanes doing the opposite. Like, they just push towards the ground instead of lift you up. That's all they're doing on wheels. But Formula Two is a same kind of championship series. They race in a lot of the same tracks as the Formula One guys do. A lot of Formula One guys are friends with the Formula Two guys because they all raced together in go-karts. When they were
tiny, fabulously wealthy babies.
I mean, that's a little billionaire gold-plated go-karts. That's what it is. I mean, it's so funny. One of my favorite drivers, his name's Lando Norris. Lando Calrissian. He's out here just flying in cars.
Yeah. His name is Lando. That's awesome.
It's incredible. And he's funny because he's an interesting person in Formula One because he's super young and he's extremely talented. He's had some early success, but he's also a Twitch streamer. And so he plays video games, and he's one of the first drivers to kind of capitalize on the younger audience and the younger crowd. And so he's huge on Twitch and plays video games, and he's friends with all like these esports guys and esports personalities. So there's this weird crossover between this elite race car driver, and then he just on his off weeks, he's like, "I'm streaming," and then you just go watch him like on Twitch. So
right. And is he playing Elden Scrolls or what is he?
I think he will play a lot of just like, I used to watch him play Fall Guys. Do you remember that game, Fall Guys, for a minute? It was a very silly, like, kind of community base. It was fun. And then I would just watch him. He'd play like War, like Call of Duty and stuff like that.
Okay, like first place.
And then I think racing games too, which, I mean, you gotta,
you gotta love that. But
it's also funny, like, if you were terrible at them, if you're a professional actual driver and then garbage at racing games. So,
yes.
He's a fun personality. But again, it's only based because he's actually good. So he's good, and then he gets this following because of that. So that's fun.
That is fun. So so how old is Lando?
Lando, I think, is 22,
early
20s? 23,
maybe? Oh, my God. These guys are babies.
Oh, and come in like one of the best drivers, the guy who won the world championship last year, very controversial. I'm not sure if Brent got real fired up about it.
Oh, he did. He said that there was racism, that it was entirely
– That is
– that he was set up because they had to start out evenly, but the other guy got new tires, but it was the guy I mentioned, right?
The director guy. Yeah. The theater director. The race director. Yeah.
Oh, and then they Catholic churched him too, right? They didn't they fired him, but they just moved him to a different parish.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, he's now in Idaho, and he's just a place up north. And so very much so, very funny that Brent mentioned the racism part. Brent and I very much believe like that was a huge factor in it. And Lewis I'm sure Brent said this, but Lewis is the only driver of color on the grid out of the 20.
Oh, I did not know that he was the only one. He's cut out of a very pretty looking piece of cloth.
He's the hottest dude on the planet.
And he's 37, which is old for the sport.
Well, yeah, right. It's very old. It's hard on your body. It truly is. Driving is tough, especially when you're going that fast.
They're going 300 miles, right?
Up to about 200 miles or like 3-something kilometers. They can get an hour on the straights. But they'll take corners. The G-force on corners can get up to like 5 or 6 Gs through corners. So they're
feels
very...
like you're hard on your bones, like an astronaut hard on your bones kind
absolutely,
of thing, right?
Yeah. They're very like fighter pilot-esque. And their steering wheel is essentially a cockpit computer. Like it has all these knobs and there's a screen on it. And they're always flipping little things while they're trying to race. And so.
Right. And they're talking to somebody, right?
Yep.
There's trouble. Yep. Hey, your wife called. They don't have wives. They have girlfriends.
they have lots of girlfriends, I think is probably the vibe. But to go back to the guy who won the championship with the controversy and how young he was when he started. His name's Max Verstappen. He's a Dutch driver. If you watch Drive to Survive, he is one of the key figures early on that they totally dub as just an asshole. Like he is a, but what I think is he's just probably Dutch is what it is. he is very good. He is extremely good. He's one of the greatest, but they make him look like a real asshole, which they all are. They're all very like, me
but
first,
varying
always.
Degrees. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Me.
Exactly. And the more I've gotten into the sport, the more I've learned about it, the more I've paid attention. He's really not that bad of a guy. He is aggressive, especially on the track, and he has his moments, which they all do. But he's not really like as much of a shithead as Netflix him look.
Or Nikita.
Nikita is a true shithead.
right. That's a true douchebag of a dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this guy is just super competitive and super entitled and living in a bubble.
And living in a bubble. Exactly. And comes from
11 years old. Yeah.
Exactly. And a millionaire just lives like that's the other part, the elitist part it's fun to watch from afar, but it is that like, damn, all right, this is your life. A lot of those guys they live in Monaco. Because you think it's like, oh, because Monaco is this beautiful on the coast.
Like sophisticated James Bond.
Yeah. What it is a tax haven. They don't have to pay taxes.
Oh, good Lord. So
Lando just got, and they're all, so a lot of them are British. Most of them. They're all from, like, there's four drivers from Britain. There's a couple, two French guys, two Canadians. Two Spanish, one Italian, he's gone. But anyway, so they're all kind of European-centric, minus two random Canadians.
U.S. dudes?
No U.S. drivers at all.
And where did the Italian go? What happened to the Italian?
He was at Alfa Romeo, which is an Italian car maker and team. Yep. His name was Antonio Giovinazzi.
is an unfortunate handle.
Yeah. And okay. Again, talk about a really hot dude. He just was like the Italian Jesus, big long hair, big tall guy. He looked great. He was awesome. Yeah,
right.
So Giovinazzi was racing for an Italian team, which is a huge advantage. If you can, because that's another part of the sport that is fascinating to me. It is, since it's all run on money, money rules everything. Cash is king in Formula One. If you can be the nationality of the team that you are racing for, that is a huge advantage for endorsements, money, and financial backing. Because a lot of these drivers bring
like
in
financial
backing.
Like if the Mercedes guy was German, it would be like a double win.
It would be huge.
Sort.
There's there is an Italian team, another Italian team called AlphaTauri, and they are sponsored by Honda. And so Honda is a Japanese company. And so there is a young, very young Japanese driver named Yuki Tsunoda. And they picked him up because he did really well in Formula 2. It's a great driver. It's on merit. But the fact that relationship exists and he would be a Japanese driver on a team that's sponsored, like a marquee sponsor that is Honda, huge for the market. So he brought in all this money. And that's all you need. You just need to bring money. If you have money, it's pay to play. So
it's pay to play, and it costs a gajillion dollars to make a jet that goes Yeah, this dude, this is a handsome young
man. That is, oh yeah. Giovinazzi's doing great.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he, why was he let go?
So he literally, it wasn't because of his talent. It was just because of the financial backing. So he, the guy who took his place, is, his name's Zhou Guanyu or Guanyu Zhou, depending on the pronunciation, but right. He is the first Chinese driver to be in Formula One. And so what it really came down to was Giovinazzi just couldn't compete with the financial backing that these Chinese companies will now bring because of the first Chinese Formula One driver. So if they can get their logo on the car, it's going to sell globally. And that's what people in China want. The companies want, they want to see their logo. So
sure they do. And they know that everybody who watches this is either upper middle class or fabulously wealthy, up truly. To, you know, 1% kind of thing.
Truly. Yeah.
So, okay. So back Max Verstappen, back to him and the TV show. So he's set up as a bad guy because they have to do it. It's a reality show, right?
Yes. Yep.
Totally. So there's 20 guys. Who has been sold as the good guy?
I would say
because it's just kind of the same characters to some extent, right? For four seasons.
Yeah. Okay. Totally. I think the best. I'm trying to think back on who they really show in a good light. The person who comes off the most popular. Is a guy named Daniel Ricciardo. And so that's another guy. If you look him up, great looking dude. He is, he's just a hot Australian guy.
As I was telling Brent, nothing makes you better looking than all of the money.
That's,
you can get all kinds of things done. You're probably super healthy. Your hair's cut right. You're wearing the clothes that fit you. Your teeth are good. All things are happening for you.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's that plus youth. So they have money.
Right. So Daniel Ricciardo's Australian.
So he's a real good looking, hot Australian dude, extremely charismatic, very silly. He's a silly guy for such extremely uptight and kind of, you know, we're down to business. It's all about performance. He's definitely the levity in the show. He jokes around a lot, has a good time. He's an incredible driver. He races. His teammate now is Lando, the guy I like. So big fan of both of them. But Ricciardo is also, he's just this clownish kind of goofy. He's like the comedian of, they call it the paddock, like the area that all the cars are and where all the racing is. It's around the paddock. So everyone knows him as the fun guy. He also is, his lifestyle outside of F1 is fascinating to me because he lives in Los Angeles. He's the only driver that actually lives in the United States.
Where and it's so, possible to tax him.
Well, it's like, what are you doing, bro? Yeah, go to Monaco. I think he might, which very Formula One. I think he might actually have residence in Monaco, which I'm almost positive he does. And
it looks like he's 33 years old. This guy's he's ancient.
It's so funny. The old professional sports like meme where it's like, guy 36, a miracle that he's out here. I can't believe he's alive. Yeah.
And he is of Italian ancestry because he is slightly darker than the whitey magoos that surround him.
The Russian white knights. Yeah, yeah. It's not good. It's not good at all. So yes, he is Italian and he is a little bit darker, at least closer to like Lewis. But those two, honestly, and there's like a couple Spaniards, but Lewis is truly the one who has, going back to the racism conversation, Lewis from day one in karting talks about he had a target on his back, especially coming from England. He was always, him and his dad were always the only two people of color at the whole track for their whole lives. And he has used that obviously as fuel and he has a massive chip on his shoulder when it comes to that. He's just proven everyone wrong every step of the way. And it's been awesome to see.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the racists, they hate it. They hate it so much.
Right.
And so it's fun to watch because he truly is the best.
So Lando is Belgian. He's British, but he's Belgian.
Born in Belgium. Because Lando's another one, son of a billionaire, but he gets the pass. No one knows his dad as well as the other two guys.
Okay.
So, and Lando had a lot of success early on. So people were just like, oh, he's a really good driver. And then they didn't pay attention to that his family is extremely wealthy.
Right. He was born with like golden spoons coming out of every orifice.
100%. And so the other guys that were thrown into the mix that bought their seat, that
they get more guff.
They do. Their dads are like one, the Lawrence Stroll is the big billionaire. His son, Lance Stroll, is a driver. He bought the team. Like he just bought the, like he just went in and said, give me the team.
I'll buy the team. Then you'll run my kit.
That's it. I'll take one. And so that's another part of the drama that I love is just these lunatics, absolute lunatics coming in and throwing money around like that. So.
Right. So the drama comes on the show. Where does the drama come from? Does it come from those guys facing each other on the track? Does it come from them trying to outspend each other? Does it come from them busting each other chops about their parents and
and what they're doing in the French Riviera later that year?
I guess, or is it women? Is there scandal? Is there latest scandal on the Netflix show?
There's not really. There is scandal. It's all about the racing. Like it truly is. It comes down. These guys, all they want to do is win, and they'll just do anything. They'll do anything to win. And so, the issues and like the drama and all
do
the fun storylines.
Murder? Like what do you mean anything? Like examples, please.
I think it's just like that's all they think about. Their whole life is centered around getting the next position higher. And if they, and that a lot of them aren't dirty. There is controversy around driving tactics and, you know, that's in every sport. People race dirty or play dirty or whatever. That definitely happens.
How can you race dirty when the race is, I mean, granted it's an hour and a half, so it's not drag racing.
Yeah.
You know, those guys have 3 or 4 seconds to do something dirty,
yeah,
but it's not like they're, you know, pouring sugar into their gas tanks.
No. Yeah. It's a lot of like tactics where, you know, if you get too close or you push them off the track or, you know, you accidentally clip them or you intentionally touch them. The problem is if, you know, a lot of contact, those cars they're very delicate.
Right. They would fly up into the air and kill everybody.
Absolutely. And so a lot of, at the end of last season, there was an incredibly dangerous and scary crash where, a car went up on another car and then shot over to the side and essentially went head first into the barrier. And the car split in half, which is rare. That's not supposed to happen. And then because it split in half, it exposed the fuel tank. And this all happened in a matter of a split second.
Yeah.
And then everything ignited. It was a huge explosion. And so the driver was a French guy. His name's Romain Grosjean. And so he's a great guy, but he made it. He lived. You didn't think he was. I watched it live. It was like I watch all the races. Since they're all in Europe and around the world, I have to get up on Sunday morning at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m.
Right.
And so if I have shows the night before, I'm just a disaster trying to watch these races.
But
I had my coffee and my blanket on my couch and I stood up and I was like, holy shit. I was like, I was stunned. I was like, I just watched a guy die because it's not unheard of for guys to die in Formula One. Famously, some of the great, like Ayrton Senna is one of the greatest of all time. He died back in 1994. Totally changed the sport because of his death. He died at a racetrack that they just raced at last week in Italy called Imola, and he hit the barrier and died because of the old Formula One cars were just big steel traps. And so if you hit it going fast enough, you were toast.
And what was his name?
Ayrton Senna, S-E-N-N-A, Senna. He's regarded as one of the greatest of all time, if not the most iconic. There's essentially 3 or 4 drivers that people see as the greatest. That would be Senna, and then Michael Schumacher is a name that you might have heard. He's from like 90s, early 2000s. He was like the Ferrari driver, and he's regarded as the greatest of all time. And then the next greatest of all time, of best of a generation, would be Lewis Hamilton. So Lewis has better numbers and stats, but a lot of the fans grew up watching Michael Schumacher, and so he'll forever be the greatest of all time. He's also white, And so that's an unspoken thing that I think a lot of fans are like, no, he's not as good. It's like, well, it's just because you probably don't like minorities is what you're saying to us.
Yeah, yeah. So, and
part of it.
Artin Senna da Silva, Brazilian and Portuguese.
Yes.
Died at the age of 34.
Yes.
And I wonder about like who his family. I just want to find out. He was with the Lotus, McLaren,
yep,
Williams, and Tolman.
Oh yeah, and some of those teams are still around.
Okay. Oh, do the teams kind of come and go a little bit as they as their billions wax and wane?
That's exactly it. It's all money. Okay. It's all money. And so Williams was until 2 years ago or last year, a mom and pop shop. It was a family owned team by a guy named Frank Williams, which is just a guy. But incredible that they were around so long. They just sold to a big, you know, conglomerate to get more money. But that was a family business. But Lotus is no longer involved. McLaren is involved, the McLaren cars, which they still make supercars and road cars that you would see around like Los Angeles. But Lando and Daniel Ricciardo, they drive for McLaren. They're okay. My hoodie is a McLaren hoodie.
Oh, that so you bought to support
my cute little
your
McLaren
team.
Hoodie. Yeah.
Yep.
My little jersey. And my little
you gotta wear the colors. Why not?
my little support system. So that's fun. And then the big dogs are Mercedes, which I'm sure Brent talked about. That's who Lewis Hamilton drives for and has won seven world championships.
And would have won eight.
Would have won eight.
Right.
Michael Massey excommunicated.
Right. So was seven in a row? Did he win seven in a row or
not?
No?
In a row. I think his first one was with McLaren. And so he started with McLaren and that's when he was really young, came out of the gate and just crushed it and then moved to Mercedes. It was very controversial at the time. Again, with the storylines, people were like, Mercedes is terrible. Like, why would you do that? And he wanted to build with the team. And then in one of the greatest moves in sporting history, he moved over and then just obliterated everyone for a decade. For the next 7, 8 years, 9 years, he just
won everything.
He won everything. And so it turned out to be the greatest move. It was a lot of other factors. There's another awesome figure who is the principal. He's kind of like the head coach, GM, overarching our Lord and Savior of Mercedes.
Okay.
His name's Toto Wolff.
Okay.
And again, another big, good-looking dude. He's Austrian.
Okay.
And he's very charismatic, but he's very like Darth Vader-ish because he has so much power in Formula One. He has power over, because Mercedes is such a player, Mercedes is also a car manufacturer, so they have their own factory. They make their own engines. Some other teams will buy Mercedes engines. Some of the 20 teams are customers of Mercedes. So it's a big power play to be able to supply engines to lesser teams and be like, here you go.
Peasants and side cash. Brent and I were talking about how it's a great side hustle. You're like, we're just going to make $200-300 million.
Yeah, just real quick.
They don't know how to build it. So, you know. It's not gonna affect our win.
Yeah.
But they can have it if they want.
Yeah.
If they would have given it to Pops Racer, Speed Racer would have had the best car in the world.
The greatest
because
of
Pops could have reverse engineered it. And so this guy, Toto Wolff.
Yep.
Toto. What a name.
I know.
What a name, Toto. It's is an Austrian billionaire motorsport executive, investor, and former racing driver.
Yeah.
He holds 33% in the Mercedes team and is the team principal and CEO of the team. And he is 6'5".
Yeah, he's a
big
guy.
Are these guys tall usually?
No, the drivers, the drivers are not. The drivers are very...
They have to squeeze into these low cars. This is one of your own issues.
Yes,
so,
this is my life. They are very, they're not as small as jockeys, but it's the same mentality where their weight matters. The car, the weight of the car with them in it is a regulation. They have to make certain weight. And
oh,
so,
gosh. Oh, so they weigh in like a jockey?
Absolutely.
Kind of before
they have their threshold of weight that they need to be at. But then they also, if you watch a race, at the end of a race, they get out of their cars, they're all sweaty, they have their helmets or whatever. And the first thing they do is they have to get on a scale and they weigh themselves on the way out because, one, they're losing so much water weight. And that's part of like the data that they need to know how much water or weight they're losing.
Oh, right. So during a race. Sort of plan for the next.
Yeah. And so it's all part of the calculations in the data.
I thought you were going to say they get out of the car and someone handed them a sandwich.
I mean, and, yeah, just a cigarette.
Really,
and they're like, there you go, bro.
It's like something, just some sort of, just a food because they haven't eaten.
Well, it's so funny because when there's so much pageantry of like the podium and all that stuff. But when they do get out of the car, there, if you get first, second, or third, you're obviously a part of the podium and you get a trophy. And they walk over and the cameras are on them and they go to this little stand that has a 1, 2, or 3 and they have their little hats and they put on their $300,000 watch for the sponsors and stuff.
Right.
But they have like a little snack and some water, but clearly everyone else who goes to the back has their water. But I just like to think that only if you get the top three, you're only allowed water.
Right. And at that point, you get gummy bears. Everyone else is just back there with saltines.
Yeah, just Nature Valley crumbs all over. So it is fun. And then the pageantry of that is exciting. It is a bit of a like a tabloidy TMZ frenzy after.
Okay.
You know, all the cameras and the interviews and depending on what's going on or what happened in the race, it could get a little, most of the time they're, you know, like the sports guys or PR machines. They're like, oh, just one race at a time, on to the next, whatever, whatever.
Thanks, God.
Exactly. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. Exactly. Our Lord and Savior. So every once in a while you get like the PR machines, but sometimes they just got done getting in a huge crash or they're upset or whatever. And you see some of their personality come out. That's really fun. So that's what I love because they get, you know, I love the drama of it and stirring it up.
Do you have favorite, like, yeah, give me a, we don't have a lot of time left. We're doing fine. But just some sort of favorite races or favorite moments.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments is probably the one that Brent got super fired up about was the last race, the last lap of the last race of last season. The Last of Us. It was incredible. It was one of those moments where you knew it just was a nuclear bomb going off and the effects of it were going to be so huge. It literally just carried tidal waves through the off season.
Was it the Lewis guy?
It was the Lewis. Yeah. It was where Lewis
and the Van Stat or whatever.
Yeah. Verstappen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That controversy where, it was the last race. There was one lap left. There was a crash. The rules were not followed, and because the rules were not followed, the advantage went to Verstappen. He ended up winning, and because he won, he ended up passing him on the last lap of the last race of the season to win the world championship. It literally was whoever was first. That's another thing that's so rare in Formula One. The season's so long, and normally, or typically, the championship is decided 4 or 5 races before the end of the season. So,
Someone is so clearly ahead point-wise or something?
Exactly. Yeah. The math does. It's never.
What is the math? Do you know the math?
Yeah, it's a point system. And so I don't know exactly the math, but I know that if you get first, you're allotted a chunk of time, a chunk of points, and it's just that. So only the top 10, 1 through 10 positions get points. So if you're 11th, you get 0 points.
Right.
And so I don't know exactly how many first get, but it goes all the way down. If you're in 10th, you get 1 point.
Okay.
But some of those teams, another thing I love, because Formula One can get so unfair with how much money certain teams like Mercedes and Red Bull and some of the bigger Ferrari, they have so much funding. Their cars are always going to be at the top.
Right.
And there's a midfield, and the midfield, it's they call it the best of the rest. And so it's teams 4 through about 11 and then maybe a little less 12 and then 13 through 20 is just kind of back markers. They're just like the trash teams.
Right.
And so it's like 3 races or 3 things happening at once. You can watch the guys at the front, which is exciting. You can watch the guys in the middle because a lot of the guys in the middle will really never compete with the guys at the top. And then the guys at the bottom are always trying to jockey their way up into the middle. And so you'll see guys get 10th place and celebrate it like they're first.
Yeah.
And then you'll see it's amazing. That's what I love, is because their expectations are so practical and objective. They say our best case scenario is we are going to get 12th. And that's what their goal is. And so you're like, okay, if they get higher than 12th, it's going to be a party for that team. And so that's kind of fun.
That is, that sounds super fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, all 20 racers obviously have opportunities for supporting, you know, they're clearly better than everybody in Formula 2, 3, and 4, right?
Yeah.
They're better than the Indy drivers. Yeah. They get to drive rocket ships that go on the ground. And so they must benefit from that, you know, sort of sponsorship wise and influencer wise. And,
that also goes back to, that's a great point. Like, that goes back to how good looking they are. It's a huge part of it. It's not a mandatory thing, but it does tend to happen where a lot of these guys are incredibly talented at driving, obviously, but a huge part of it is being the face of all these brands that are putting money on your car. Be the face of Red Bull, but then also be the face of Red Bull has all these other entities that pump money into them. So, like, McLaren has WebEx and, like, you know, Dell, all these different, like, Bose is part of Mercedes, where they part of their contract is they have to go do all these advertisements for all these other brands.
Okay.
And so they're on photo shoots, they're doing media, they're doing interviews. So they have to be these brand ambassadors for who knows what brand. And they have to be so good in front of the camera, so good, they're so well media trained.
But some they have to be personable and
Smiley and
And
some of them are 23. Like, imagine being 23 and be like, I guess I have to handle this. So
Right. I mean, it's that whole, you know, in the NFL, they give them a class.
Yes.
They give them some sort of camp of what to do with their money and how to not throw it away and you know, try not to spend it all because you only have 10 years and buy land. Jesus.
Yeah. It's hard to tell a guy from the Kansas City Chiefs to move to Monaco, though.
right. And all of these guys, or not all of them, but I would say an extraordinary number of them. Every time I Google one of them, it's like, oh, his dad's a billionaire.
Every time.
Oh, his almost every. Yeah.
Yep.
But like this Artin Senna da Silva dude.
Yeah.
His grandparents immigrated to Brazil from Italy. Guess where they came from?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they were
Vatican, probably.
No, I think Nazis. I think they were probably with them and their Nazi gold
went to
Brazil.
Yep.
And some of them went to Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
Some
Argentina of them went to Brazil. Heavy. Yep. Totally.
Yeah. So Italian immigrants. And so that was his mother's family.
Yep.
And then his father's family were old school Brazilian landowners. So Spanish conquistador, you know, craziness.
Yeah.
So these are not helpers.
You don't get exactly. That's well put. Not helpers. You don't get that much money by
ever giving
serving,
it away.
Serving.
Yeah. Yeah. Being of. Yeah. It's that is brutal. That is hilarious. So they're 23 and they're wandering the earth doing photo shoots when it isn't race time.
Yep.
They have to be good at it, right? To get where they are to some extent, right?
I mean, absolutely.
And the training, I mean, it's sort of, my sister says this about her children. She's like, they aren't geniuses. They just have the advantage of having a small school and tutors.
Yes.
So they are better educated than other children. And so in this case, these children got to do go-karts when they were 5.
Absolutely.
And then they got to do bigger and bigger cars. And so they're either good at it or they're great at it. And if they aren't great at it, they go into a different job.
Yep.
But
they go back. Yeah. They take over the 20 banks that their dad probably owns.
Right. And we say the top 1%. But 1% of 8 billion people is actually a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
And I was asking Brent if there were any women, and he was like, there are no women.
No women.
But there is, he said there was one woman who raced, I think it was...
maybe in the 60s?
Well, no, he was talking about the one woman who was a stock car racer.
Oh, Danica Patrick?
Yeah, Danica Patrick. And then there was, and so it could happen, you know? I mean, these men have daughters.
They do. There's also a really cool series called the W Series, and it is open wheel racing. It's similar to a Formula 2 or a Formula 3, but it's only women drivers.
Oh, that's weird. So, yeah. Okay.
There's no reason Brent would ever know this exists.
Right, because it's a weird racing reality show. Yeah. By the way, I'm talking with Jeff Tice, you guys. It's at Jeffrey Tice with a G on all the things. Grid Penalty Podcast is their Formula One podcast, where it won't just be 2 hours, you guys. It'll be hours upon hours upon hours of the minutia and every race
the details.
Unpacked.
Details. And so
the W
thank
show
you. Thank
is
you
that
so
on
much.
Netflix?
So that is an actual racing series. That's not a show. It's professional drivers who are women driving as professional race car drivers. So they are.
So it's just a racing competition called the W show.
Called the W Series. Yeah.
The W Series. Cause why wouldn't it have a name that, that reflects the freak show that women behind the wheel is.
Yes.
A
little bit of, I don't know the right word for it, but, drama, silliness.
Sure.
This year, Caitlyn Jenner will have a team in the W Series. And so she is sponsoring a W Series team. And so there is a race team now called Jenner Racing. And at first everyone was like, what is going on in this world? But what it comes down to is influence, money, and branding. And so Caitlyn Jenner wanted to be involved in it. And then everyone was kind of like, seemed like a joke at first, but then she signed the previous champion. Her name's Jamie Chadwick, who's an incredible driver. Jamie Chadwick, everyone was thinking would be, if there was a chance to be a Formula One driver that was a woman, it would be Jamie. She's awesome and an incredibly talented driver, but she stayed in the W Series to race for Caitlyn Jenner's team. And so there's been this conversation of like, does this tarnish the name of the W Series because it's this massive celebrity coming in?
And because Caitlyn Jenner is a tool.
She sucks.
She's an asshole. And
and
she
also
wasn't great.
Killed someone with a car.
Right. I did not know that.
Famously ran over that person and then was like, nah, it's whatever. I'm rich.
Oh my God. Yeah. Uncomfortable.
And this is
where it all falls apart, where you're like, you're supposed to support women, Jackie. You're just like, what if they're dicks? What if they're assholes? I don't want to.
Yeah.
What if I've been having to police women and they're the, you know, just sort of like, you know, how people of color have had to police each other for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Women have had to do it as well. We're just like ruining it for everyone.
Hey, guys.
And I've
stop.
Only had to do it for white people for the last 10 years because previously I didn't notice. I'm so sorry. I was in a fishbowl circling my own castle.
Sorry.
So
I've been 6'4 looking above it my whole life, unfortunately. And now
I'm so sorry. I should have looked around.
It's a problem.
It is a problem. I am addressing it.
But the bright side, the positive side of that is that there is a series dedicated to women to drive, and they get the experience and they get the exposure on this global scale.
Right. And so it could eventually go to Formula One. Jamie Chadwick could be.
The hope is, who knows if that will happen or if hope potentially a driver that is a woman will come through and maybe Jamie will be the, you know. She walks so the next one can run to get into Formula One.
Right.
It's so hyper exclusive that just to even be in there is hard. But then all the roadblocks that is gender inequality and things, and especially a sport that even the employees are and the teams are majority male. Even the employee, you know, there's not a ton of women. There's all these.
There's adjacent women. Women, as women have been adjacent their entire lives.
Exactly.
But it's interesting because the W Series has only been around since 2019.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that new. I just knew I had only followed it probably since 2020, a couple years.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And I wonder, okay, so there's six races, and there's one in Mexico City, one in Austin, Texas, nice. One in Suzuka, one in Budapest. That sounds cobblestone-y.
Yes.
Le Castellet in France.
Nice.
Silverstone in the UK, Barcelona in Spain, and Miami. Amazing. So are any of those places where Formula One races, to your knowledge?
Those are all places Formula One will race. Oh. And so they race on the same track. They will.
Well, that's...
And they'll also race in the same weekend a lot of times. So it'll be an event where...
A little bit of a crossover where the W Series will also be the same weekend as the Formula One Series.
Yep. So a lot of times they'll race. I'm not sure exactly what day the W Series will race, but Formula 2 will be there sometimes. And it rotates. It's a rotating cast of kind of undercard races. So Brent and I went to Austin last year.
Okay.
We're going to be in Miami this next weekend.
May 6th through the 8th is when the W Series is.
Perfect.
Which is...
next week. So
I think that is next weekend. Yeah. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then Boston is in October at the second to last weekend before Halloween.
Perfect. In Circuit of the Americas. We went there and man, goddamn. So Texas, it was a mix of Formula One fans that are this like kind of global, like upper crust, whatever. And then just so many just like redneck Texans like, hell yeah, motors, let's go. And so,
let's go. And not a mask in sight.
Oh, boy. And, it was.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They didn't get the COVID.
It didn't exist down there.
Yeah. I was just there. I was just in Austin.
And, were you doing shows?
I was Moon Tower. And and I had been there a year ago at the Creek. And they were all like, well, you know, the mask mandate is lifted. I was like, no, I was here in May. Of 2020, there were no masks.
Did you fly with no mask? Like not you personally, but was the mandate lifted by the time you were on your flights?
Which is being challenged right now. They're just like, it's not that big of a deal. I've had one cold, and it was right in between. It was right before Omicron when we all wandered around without masks for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I got a terrible cold that wasn't COVID, and nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
They were like, it's just a cold. Go to work. And I'm like, no, when I have a terrible cold, I also don't want to go to work. It doesn't have to be COVID.
Oh, man. So, yeah. I just went to Scottsdale for a thing. It wasn't even comedy related. And flying to Phoenix, that's a different planet as well. And so,
Man, I was
a couple weird looks. I'm like, it's just we've been wearing these. What are we doing?
It's like mid 2020 or early 2020. I went to Vegas, and they had a mask mandate in the Tropicana, which is where I was performing, and so everybody was wearing masks, and I would get on stage and I'd be like, so you guys kind of sick of the masks? And they'd be like, yeah. And I said, but you really want to sit in front of a slot machine for 8 hours? So you're willing to do it? And they're like, yeah.
Sure.
I guess. And you're like, yeah, I love the power of your convictions.
Yeah.
Anyway,
real.
Wearing MAGA hats and just out of their goddamn minds. So
that's insane.
Bunch of idiots. So here we are, real close. We're real close to the end of it. So what does everyone race in every one of the 26 races?
Yes. Theoretically, yes. That's the goal, is that they're there if, you know.
Unless
barring,
they have a cold or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, another fun story is COVID, obviously not the funnest story, but COVID happened. The fun story because of COVID, a couple drivers have gotten COVID in the last 2 years. And there's one driver who, for some reason, is the substitute. And so he used to race. His name's Nico Hulkenberg.
Hulkenberg,
they call him the Hulk, and he is awesome.
Okay,
and he is
what makes him awesome.
I think he's Belgian or German. I think German.
Hulkenberg, it makes me think German.
I think German, and you look him looks pretty German, so I'm gonna go with German. But he's a very lovable character, very nice, just a great face of Formula One. But he lost his seat to a different driver a couple years ago. But he's one of those guys. He's still young. And still has the ability to just hop in a car and fill in. So he's become this de facto substitute for a couple teams where that he used to race for. When someone got COVID, they would literally call him 2 days before the race or 3 days before the race and say, hey, can you fly to whatever country they're in? He hops on a plane, flies there. They have suits and helmets for him already, and then he just races. And
he wears he wears a pink thing.
Yep.
He is 34, 35 years old.
Oh, he is. That's older than I thought.
Born
he was
in 87, and he is German.
He's and a year older than me.
Okay.
That's wild. He is German, and it's funny now to say Nico Hülkenberg and be like, I don't know what that is. Of course it's German.
The Berg will sell it. And so, wow. All right. Well, Jeff Dice, this has been...
What has it been for you? Truly, what has it been? Are there some topics like this that are just like, you're like, whatever, dude? No.
I'm always interested. I never want to do, there's so many topics that I'm like, when we hit an hour, I'm like, no, we're done.
Yeah. Shut it down.
And it's because it is fascinating, but there is, like, with other people's dorkdoms, like, I could talk about any number of things forever.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a glazed look that can come over your face. And that's why the show is an hour long.
Yeah.
Because perfect. I think about an hour of someone else's, what they love is great. And then we hear these stories and who knew what billionaires and their sons were doing?
Where they're laundering their money. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing.
That's exactly
what it is.
And
they're just like, they're hiding it in Monaco. They're putting it into vehicles that turn over and fall apart. And they're like, I lost money this year. And you're like, because I bought a rocket instead of, I don't know, fixing the housing problem in Los Angeles.
And, world hunger.
I could have stopped it all in a heartbeat. But I was too busy. I wanted to, my son likes to drive.
Hey, he's a good kid.
He's a good kid. I love him dearly. And I'm sure that they're nice enough, but I hope that they all start libraries.
Baseline. That's exactly. I hope they do some good.
Right. I hope that they buy public. They may not have to. They may not have to buy public opinion because they're busy showing off watches. But this has been a delight. Jeffrey Tice, by the way, is GeoffreyTice. He has done much art for me and other comics, and it is always a delight. He's a great stand-up comic, and it has a podcast with Brent Gill called Grid Penalty Podcast. Thank you very much for doing the show, Jeff Tice.
You are the greatest. Thank you so much, Jackie. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?